Good morning, church. It's so great to be in the house of God, amen. And I'd like to just welcome my very good friends from Singapore here, okay? And we are good friends from days in Melbourne, in Monash, and they are my seniors. So over the years, I always look at them in awe when I was a student. And so today, it's so good. You know, as you get older, you know, we just love to just reconnect. It's a sign of age, actually. We just love to connect again with many of our friends. And so they have come with their wives. And out of this, the group of them here, there are three professors here. So the Lord has been gracious to you, right? The Lord has been so good, you know, in just blessing so many of us. So welcome. Welcome to Dream Center. And so let's lift up our Bible, okay, as is the custom every weekend. To lift up our Bible and declare together, all right, the Word of God. So let's lift up our Bible, whether it's a hard copy Bible or soft copy Bible, still a Bible anyway, and it's a custom of the church to just lift up our Bible to say that, you know, it is an important part of a Christian life, amen? So let's declare it together. You still remember the declaration? I hope so. Okay, ready? This is my Bible. One, two, go. This is my Bible. It is the Word of God. It informs my mind, inspires my heart, and instructs my behavior. So help me, God. Let's do that one more time, because I want you to be able to just be able to recite that, because this is a great reminder to us. Shall we do it again? This is my Bible. It is the Word of God. It informs my mind, inspires my heart, and instructs my behavior. So help me, God. So let's read from Malachi chapter 1, verses 6 to 14, and okay, it's not on. All right, so let's read, declare aloud together the Word of God. And because in declaring the Word of God, there is power, amen? So let's read aloud together. One, two, go. A son honors his father, and a slave his master. If I am a father, where is the honor due me? If I am a master, where is the respect due me? Says the Lord Almighty. It is you, priest, who show contempt for my name. But you ask, how have we shown contempt for your name? By offering defiled food on my altar. But you ask, how have we defiled you? By saying that the Lord's table is contemptible. When you offer blind animals for sacrifice, is that not wrong? When you sacrifice lame or diseased animals, is that not wrong? Try offering them to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you? Says the Lord Almighty. Now plead with God to be gracious to us. With such offerings from your hands, will he accept you? Says the Lord Almighty. Or that one of you will shut the temple doors so that you will not light useless fires on my altar. I am not pleased with you, says the Lord Almighty. And I will accept no offering from your hands. My name will be great among the nations, from where the sun rises to where it sets. In every place, incense and pure offerings will be brought to me, because my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord Almighty. But you profane it by saying, the Lord's table is defiled, and his food is contemptible. And when you say, what a burden, and you sniff at it contemptuously, says the Lord Almighty. When you bring injured, lame, or diseased animals and offer them as sacrifices, should I accept them from your hands, says the Lord. And cursed is the cheat who has an acceptable male in his flock and vows to give it, but then sacrifices a blemished animal to the Lord. For I am a great king, says the Lord Almighty, and my name is to be feared among the nations. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Please be seated. And last night when I was just worshiping the Lord, and God just brought this to mind, this is not in my script, but the Lord says, share this with the people. And, you know, the Lord is saying that as you are preaching, Chris, you know, you are sowing the seeds of the gospel. You're sowing the seeds of God's word. And the Lord brought me to the parable of the sower. And he said to me that these seeds here would drop in four different kind of places. It would drop on the path, and birds would come and eat it, all right? And there's no chance to even, you know, be in the soil. And then the second type of seeds will go into rocky places. And it will grow for a short while, but then it will not. It doesn't have deep roots, and therefore it will die. It will wither. And then some seeds will grow in soil where there are thorns. And as the plant grows, the thorns will choke the plants, and it will not grow as well. It will die. And then the fourth kind of soil is the good soil. And where the seed, when it's planted, it will grow into healthy plants. And God told me that in this congregation here, there are four kind of soils. And I pray, my prayer is that all of us here will have the heart of a good soil. That the Word of God will make a difference in our life. Every weekend when we come here, does it make a difference? You know? And I believe it should, because it is the Word of God, and the Word of God transforms us. Amen? All right, so turn to your neighbor and say, be a good soil. All right, be a good soil, so that the seed of God can grow. When we think of the word honor, what comes to mind? Honor. Does a person come to mind when they talk about honor? What image does it conjure? Okay. Can you think of a person, when I mention the word honor, that immediately you say, yeah, this is the person I can honor. Usually it's related to someone. So can you think of a person that you can say that you honor him or her? And the meaning of honor is that you esteem, you value, you give great respect. Or in another way, is it will put weight to. Right? There's a weight in that person. And so usually, in our context, people are honored by what we call position. Or this person is honored because of experience or achievement. And therefore, someone is usually related to someone important. So we want to talk about the word honor. Now, let me give you the big idea of what I am preaching this morning. So this is the big idea. Loving God and fearing God are both sides of the same coin called honor. All right, that's a big picture. Let me read that again. Loving God and fearing God are both sides of the same coin called honor. And when you read the Word of God, honor begins with God. It always begins with Him. In fact, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. All right, in your notes, there's a typo there. Just correct that. So 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30 says, those who honor me, I will honor. Why don't we read that aloud together? One, two, go. Those who honor me, I will honor. Now that is a very important verse that we need to imbibe into our lives. When we honor God, God says He will honor us. That has huge implication in our lives. Do you know what happens when God honors you? Have you ever thought about that? What would happen when God honors you as you honor God? So when we honor God, the other thing I read in Scripture is this, that when we honor God, we will also honor people around us. In other words, we cannot say we honor God and not honor people. And that is why I believe at the communion earlier on, as we honor God in the Holy Communion, God is saying to us, you need to honor people as well, even those that you don't really like. Because God loves these people as well. So we cannot say we honor God and not honor people. And the converse is also true, that we cannot truly honor people until we learn how to honor God. So honor is not something inherent in us. It is something that needs to be taught and caught. And so can you imagine an environment where people honor each other? Can you imagine an environment in your offices? People honor each other. Your colleague honor each other. Your employer honor the employee. The boss honor someone under him, and someone under the boss honor the boss. All right? It is an amazing, amazing environment. What happens if it happens in the home? What happens if it happens in the cell group, in the church? And so I believe that a lifestyle of honor will affect our marriage, it affects our family, it affects our job, our finances, our church, and the community. And that is why in this series of sermons, four sermons in all, we want to talk about honoring God, all right? Because we cannot honor people until we honor God. So that is why this is the first sermon. Then we're going to talk about honoring one another, honoring our leaders, and then honoring those who are down and out, the poor and the destitute. And so honor, I believe, is the key to unlock blessings in our life. So listen to this very carefully, the Word of God, because I believe that in the next 4 weeks, this series of sermon here will change your life. And I really believe so, because it is the Word of God. So let's start with understanding that God, first of all, reveals Himself to us as a Father. And we are, therefore, simply His children. So in verse 6, this is what it says. If I am a father, Where is the honor due me? This is a very interesting statement. So God is saying, I'm your father. So where is the honor due me? Right? Young people in church here right now, young people, do you honor your father? Do you really honor them? Think about that one. Right? Not only young people, but the older ones. Do you honor your father? Because implied in this verse here is that a father deserves honor. Right? And so if you were to ask a typical evangelical Christian about the fatherhood of God, what does it mean to them? So you are all here typical evangelical Christians, right? So your answer would be, well, it means that God loves me. It means that, you know, God the Father would take care of me. He will guide me. He will forgive me when I do wrong. And one day he will take me home to live with him. But that's true. It's absolutely true that this is the character of God the Father. But I think it is more than what our understanding is. Because I said earlier on in the big idea that God as a loving Father is someone that we love, but also someone that we need to fear. And this is something that I think we get that mix up sometimes without recognizing that this is both sides of the same coin called honor. Okay, so as I preach on, listen to what the Word of God has to say. The most famous of all biblical commands that relate to child and father and parents' relationship is simply this verse here. Exodus 20 says, honor your father and your mother, right? And so it's very clear there that honor must be due to our parents. But let me say this to you, that on the flip side is this here, that, you know, that it also implies that does the father, the way the father lead his life, does it deserve the honor of his children? Because right now we are living in a society where the honor towards father has deteriorated so badly due to what we call absentee fathers, due to the fact that their lack of godly leadership, authority and wisdom and strength in the home. And so today we have evolved in such a way that I see for young people, you know, they say they can't honor their father. On the converse side is that the father in their lives too has nothing where it deserves the honor of the children. So this is something I've spoken about in our relationship series that have just passed, that is so important, therefore, you know, to look into this whole subject of honor in the home. So fathers, remember this, that as much as you want to have a playful affection for your children, they must also learn to have a deferential respect and honor towards you. Okay. Now, much of what I have to say today is influenced by John Piper. John Piper is one of the author that when he says something, you have to read it two or three times before you understand what he's trying to say. Okay. And here is a quote that I wrote down from him. It says that, now let me read this, and then let me try to paraphrase it for you, because it would take you about three times to understand this, okay? But I will paraphrase it for you. He said that, I suspect that it works both ways. The less we emphasize the need for children to reverence their human fathers, the less God's fatherhood will trigger our reverence. And the less God's fatherhood weakens our reverence and honor, the less we will make that part of the human ideal of fatherhood. I'm quite sure in the first reading, you have absolutely no idea what he's talking about. Right. So I have to actually work that through two or three times to really try to understand. Let me paraphrase it for you. This is what he's really trying to say, okay? If we don't teach our children to honor their fathers, they will eventually find it very hard to honor God, because it's related to honoring the father. And then if they don't honor God, so because of this situation, if they don't honor God, they will likely not grow and learn to be the kind of godly father they should be. So really, if you look at it, it's a catch-22 situation, all right? It just evolved around this catch-22, and that generation repeat the mistake, same mistake over and over again. So that is why I'm so passionate about the men's ministry, so passionate about the fathering ministry, because I really believe that I just spoke, you know, very briefly in the pastor's school just last weekend, and I make this very bold statement. And I say, if you sort out the man in the church, it will sort out everything in the church. Right? And see, there's amen. And this all comes from ladies. Right? Because this is a serious statement, because it comes from honoring God. So the human father is a reflection of God the Father, period. We are human father. Our role is to reflect God the Father. So when our children learn to honor us as fathers, they will learn how to honor God. And that is why Malachi, you know, chapter 1, verse 6 talks about, if I'm a father, where is the honor due me? Because it's related directly to the human father. All fathers need that kind of honor because it is a reflection of God the Father. And so what has happened is that Malachi wanted to correct the balance, to say that, you know, God is not just only approachable. Yes, God loves me, sure. But we sometimes become too, I use the word, flippant in the way we approach God. Now, parents, we understand this, right? Can you imagine your children coming in of the house, out of the house without even informing you, taking you very flippantly, taking you very lightly, never informing you, never honoring you, and come to the point, you would say, don't treat this home like a hotel, right? Because they take it too easy. There's no honor. So we understand this. Now, so we, as we look at the book of Malachi, where did the people of God, where have they gone wrong? Now, this is written 100 years after the return of Judah, all right, from slavery and exile in Babylon. Now, they have learned their lessons. You know, God, if you know the story of the Old Testament, all right, repeatedly, they sin against God. And God has to judge them and send them away. Now, this time around, it is the last time they are coming back. Now, they have really learned their lesson. They have not gone back to idolatry since then because they really learned their lesson. But guess what? When they return back, you know, to Israel, they, although they live in freedom away from slavery, but the way they practiced their religion, all right, was that they was it was just a formality. It was just a religious duty void of the passion for God. Are they religious? Sure, they are very religious. And today, the term that we have coined, we call it them cultural Christians. Right? It's just part of being a culture of being a Christian. So we become very, very religious. And they became very complacent. And in Malaysian, we say, tidak apa. Couldn't care less attitude. So how do they show this couldn't care less attitude? They offered what we call blind, lame, and diseased animal for sacrifice. They see worship as a burden. They cheated God. You know they cheated God by saying that, God, if you help me in this, I will do this for you. Did they do that? No. So they cheated God in that sense. And so although God helped them, they didn't return that gratitude towards God. And guess what? At the end of the day, Malachi said this about them. You are offering useless fires. Now that to me is a very condemning word. Useless fires. Now if we were to translate it to today's language, what does it all mean? It means that we are giving God our leftovers. You know, sometimes we talk about people like myself, who's a pastor. She's full-time. I am part-time, you know. Okay? But actually, there's no full-time, part-time Christians, you know. All of us are full-time Christians. All right? It just so happened I'm a pastor. It just so happened that you're an engineer. It just so happened that you're an accountant. It just so happened that you're a taxi driver. It just so happened that you are a clerk. But we are all full-time Christians serving God in our workplaces depending on our call. But yet, you know, the people of God in the time of Malachi, and I've been translated today, we seem to live double lives. Okay? We become very holy on Sunday. All right? The other 6 days, I can't recognize you, you know. Right? Totally different person. And we see God as being very burdensome. Can serve God or not on your cell leader? Can serve or not? Cannot. Can serve or not? Then you join this tribe called the Canaanites, is it? Everything also cannot. Right? You see this as burdensome rather than say, yes, I'm ready to serve God. And we can come to church that way as well. We can serve God that way as well. It is shown by the way we come to church this morning. You know, are you very aware of the way you come to church this morning? Was it burdensome? Or was it exciting to come here to celebrate with God's people? Otherwise, we must heed the word of Malachi where he says, these are useless fires. Now that to me is a serious word. You mean, God, I can come to church here faithfully every weekend, faithfully give my tithes, faithfully doing all these things, but yet God says they are useless fires. It doesn't account for anything in God's kingdom. When does that become useless fires? It becomes useless fires when our hearts are far, far away from God. When our hearts right now are thinking of the lunch we're going to have. Our hearts are now thinking of the movie that we're about to go to. And then you think to yourself, when is this speaker going to finish? Right? When we are careless, and I would say useless fires as being careless worship. Right? And when we come to a worship service like that, right, we look at, you know, the song, this song not so nice. I wish I picked the other song. This singer, a bit out of tune. Okay? And then we begin to be that kind of participants. Do you know that in a worship celebration like this, do you know who's the audience? God is the single audience. We are all participants. In fact, God is looking at the way we worship just now. Because if our mind are not in worshiping the living God, that's careless worship. And that's what Malachi is trying to say. You can be as religious as you get, but when your heart is far away from God, you are careless in the way you worship. So Malachi right now is trying to bring us back. Bring us back to who God is. And Malachi helps us in three ways to understand this. And he uses some real incredible words. And the first thing he said, that God is called the Lord Almighty. Interestingly, this phrase here, Lord, comes from the word, Hebrew word, Yahweh. There's no vowel to it even. In fact, that name is so sacred that the Jewish people don't even want to try to pronounce that word. In fact, later on, they use the word Adonai. Okay? Not really that word. But of course, today, we use the word, we translate to Yahweh or Jehovah. And so in that time, Malachi basically said that God is called the Lord Almighty. Now, eight times in that nine verses we have read, eight times, this is incredible, when the Word of God is written eight times in the same word, the Lord Almighty or the Lord, which is Yahweh, Malachi is trying to tell you something. This God that you're worshiping is the Lord Almighty. Do you get that? Malachi is asking God's people. He is the Lord Almighty, and in Exodus, when Moses asked God, who do I say have sent me to them? I am who I am, and I will be what I will be, and tell them I am the Lord Yahweh Almighty. And in that sense, here Malachi is reminding the people, here's God who has infinite authority in the universe. He's the one who created the billions and billions of stars in the universe. He can do what he wants without limitation. He has an army of angels that would do his bidding. But here on the altar of God, you offer lame animals. You offer diseased and crippled animals. Then the Malachi say, you try giving this to your governor. See whether it's acceptable or not. And so Malachi tells the people, you are worshiping the Lord Almighty. Remember that. And then Malachi went on to say, the second thing he said, God does not need our sacrifices. So he said, oh, that one of you would shut the temple doors so that you would not light useless fires on my altar. I am not pleased with you. Shut the temple door. I don't need your sacrifices. Because these are useless fires. You know, Psalms 50 talk about that. I have no need of a bull from your stall or of goats from your pens. For every animal, the forest is mine and the cattle on a thousand hills. I know every bird in the mountains and the creatures of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all that is in it. Hey guys, I created the whole universe. Everything is mine. I don't need your sacrifices. Right? And then it goes on in Acts, it says, and he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself gives life, give all men life and breath and everything else. You know, God is even saying, actually, I don't even need you to serve me. Because I am Lord God Almighty. So in other words, when we come to God to worship him, to sacrifice to him of our lives, when we serve him, it is a privilege. So do we take that privilege seriously? So he owns every square foot of Malaysia, of the world. And yet on the altar of the Father, we offer him diseased animal, lame animals, our leftovers. Then the third way Malachi reminded us is this, God will be honored by all. And so my name will be great among the nations, from where the sun rises to where it sets. In every place, incense and pure offerings will be brought to me, because my name will be great among the nation, says the Lord Almighty. So he is the creator in our past, the king in our present, and the judge of our future. And so I think Malachi wrote it with such a sobering tone for the people of God. He is God Almighty. And one day, he will come and judge. And Revelation 22 verse 12 says, "Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done." So don't think you can get away with it. All right. Of course, as Christians now living in the new covenant, we know that we are saved. You know, not saved by our works. Let me make it very clear, and I believe that very often we make it so clear to the church that we are not saved by works. But there is a judgment of our works after we've been saved. That one day God will consider the works of our hands, and he will put them through fire. So don't think that we can be flippant with God and get away with it. Because God will judge. Now trust me, you are saved. You will be with God. But there is a system of reward that is so clear in Scripture that whatever we do, God notices. And God says that if you honor me, I will honor you. So those of you who are serving faithfully, sometimes people don't see, you know. And sometimes, even right now, you may say, "I want to give up already. I give God the last chance." In fact, right now here, you say, "I give God the last chance already." Do you know how many times people have said that to me? "Really, I came, you know, last chance already, I give to God." Well, as if, well, you threaten God, you know. All right, so how? All right, so they come here really very broken. And God reminded them then, "I notice. Even if people don't notice, I notice." And God so graciously, so often, in very broken servants of God, he will slowly, not in a condemning way, he will slowly nurture them back to full service again. Are you like that today? You know, you feel so discouraged? As you honor God, people may not see it. As you honor God, God will honor you. And that's God's promise. So, Malachi here now says, "The Lord Almighty." Would that change the way we live our lives today? When you walk out this door here at the end of this celebration, where has that seed dropped into it as far as the soil is concerned? And I pray these are good soils that God has allowed you to place that seed on. So what are the applications then? Let me give you two applications here. Just trying to link now the human father to God the Father. Because I believe that this is a very important teaching about honor. Remember the big idea that loving and fearing God, all right, is the two sides of the same coin called honor. And so two applications. The first application is to human fathers. Now, not only do we teach or show to our children tender affection, we must also teach them towards the human father, myself, okay, the reverential fear. Let me give you an example. If after this celebration you were to go out in that very busy road in front of our church, and you see your young child about to dash across the road, and you see an oncoming car, okay? And what do you do when you see an oncoming car and your child's about to dash across the road to your car opposite the road? What do you do? What do you say? Stop, right? You don't have, you have no time to phrase a long sentence, you know? You just say, stop, right? Now, that word stop, what does it mean? It means stop, right? But today it doesn't mean stop, you know? Those of us who are older understand this, huh? During the time when we live in the era when the father say yes means yes, when the father say no means no, right? But today, all right, when you say no, it's actually up for negotiation, you know. This is a today's context we're living in, you know. Right? So imagine now, as a child about to cross the road and an oncoming car, you must expect your son, when you say no, he actually understands no. There's no room to say, Dad, can I negotiate with you? Because you may even want to try the, I count to three, huh? Because when you count one, the car has already knocked him already. There's no room for one, two, three. But there are times, of course, when situation is not as urgent, because you love your child, you will sit down with him and try to reason things out. Because I love you, I do not want to impose that on you, all right? But trust me, I'm the dad. And I love you, trust my advice. And I'll give you time to process that because I love you. Of course, there are situations like that. But do you know there are situations in our life, if we were to say no to them, they better know that it's a no. And how do we treat God sometimes? God has so often said no, but yet we think it's open for negotiation. And that is a whole area of honor. And so therefore, we need to teach our children as human fathers. Because if we don't teach our children now about honoring us, of course, the flip side is that there must be something in our life that deserves honor. The way we live our lives, the way we treat God, the way we honor God in our lives, the way we just live a life of discipleship in Christ. And that will bring that honor of our children towards us. So we need to teach our children. You know, just 3 weeks ago, I preached about children and church here. Why do we have children here in our midst here? Because we want to teach them about a lifestyle, a rhythm of going to church in honoring God. I still remember when I was a teenager, I grew up in a small town, small church, and it was an Anglican church, so I have an Anglican root. And so I still remember going to church as a 15-year-old, 16-year-old, and there was this altar. In Anglican church, there's an altar, you know. And so they would tell me, you know, when you go up to that altar, take off your shoes. Right? Of course, we all understand that there's nothing sacred in that sense. Like. But they implant in my mind that going to church is a very holy thing. You don't fool around and run around one at all. Right? So I grew up with that great reverential esteem for the church of God, you know. Right? And I tread in very carefully. Every time I go into any church, I know that God is there in that sense. God is there, and I need to treat God's house properly. And that's what we're training our children to do. Bring them in here. And of course, I would love my children, you know, as they sit on my lap. All my three boys sit with me throughout their lifetime every weekend. And I would love them, you know, for them to, when they were young, the chubby hands touching my cheek, right, as they sit there, you know, listening to the sermon. But there are times that they need to know that when I look at them, one look, they know that I'm serious. You do not simply walk around. But this is the two sides of the same coin. That I think our fathers today have swing either to one end to the other. All right? And learning to teach them what I call reverential fear and honor is something that we really need wisdom from the Lord. But it's stuck with the human father. How are we teaching our children? That is why I declare to you, you know, in the sermon on children and church, I declare to you that the primary educator of our children is not the church. The primary educator of our children are the parents at home. And how you prepare them to come to church. Think about this morning as you prepare them to come to church. Think about them the night before as you prepare for them to come to church. But did you tell them? But you tell them during the worship time, right? Your family worship time. So I hope you understand that the human father plays a huge part in helping our children to learn to honor God. And so in that sense, to human fathers, and now to our relationship with God. So in the same way, once that healthy relationship with our earthly children and earthly father are right, in that proper honor we have one for another, I believe that there is a proper place now for our children to grow up learning how to honor God in reverence and fear. And I believe that, you know, in the scripture, in the Bible itself here, it talks beautifully about these two tension that we have to hold on tightly to. Often we read about how much God loves us. And often we also read about how God would discipline us. And these are both sides of the same coin. Therefore, Christians, can I say this to you lovingly? That don't be too quick to pray away difficult parts of our life. Because often, because God loves you, He wants to help you in your life today. You know, in fact, in Psalms 25, verse 14, it says this, the Lord confides in those who fear Him. Notice the word fear. God confides in you. That's an amazing word, you know. God comes to you and whispers to you, hey, this is my mystery, you know. But only to those who fear Him. Notice that. Yeah, sometimes we tend to think that the fear is that paralyzing fear of God. It's not. It's not that paralyzing fear. It is that awesome presence of God that when you come towards God, you know that is a holy ground, you know. Just as Moses and Joshua, when they approach God, God said, take off your shoes as you come into my presence. And I learned that early in my growing years as a young Christian. Take off your shoes when you come to the altar of God. And that's what God has invited me. And that's what I'm trying to teach my children. And I believe my children, as a result of years of training, I believe they have learned to honor God. In fact, Psalms 25, verse 14, in another version, English Standard Version says, right, the friendship of the Lord is for those who fear Him. I love that word, the friendship of God. Now, you're thinking, how can friendship and fear come together? But the Bible holds it so well in its tension. That is the kind of life that we need to read. And Hebrews talks about the discipline. Do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when He rebukes you. Okay? We don't like the Lord's rebuke, but He does rebuke us because the Lord disciplines the one He loves. If God don't rebuke you, He doesn't love you. He lets you do your own thing. Now, this is the healthy tension that we need to really be able to draw together. Big idea again, all right? Loving God and fearing God are both sides of the same coin called honor. And I pray that this is something we will put into the life of the church. That when we come to the presence of God, whether in cell group, by the way, cell group is the church, do you come flippantly? Do you come in honor of one another, in honor of your leader who said to come on time? Do you honor each other in the way you wait for one another, the way you talk to one another? Because that is a reflection of honoring God. I remember a few years ago, in 2013, I got this excited phone call from my mom. And she said, the Sultan is coming. Huh? You see, you must understand, I come from a tiny little village, you know, called Kangkabaru. Some of you heard me say this. Kangkabaru, heard of it? No, right? Nobody has heard Kangkabaru. Population today, 4,000. Right? It's really a very small village. Because when I used to play outside, you know, during the daytime, my mom would stand at the door of the house and shout my name, and then I would come back from playing, all right? That's how small it is. And so my mom called me up and said, the Sultan is coming, huh? Why would the Sultan visit Kangkabaru, huh? Of course, later I discovered that this Sultan actually does make his rounds, you know, right? And there's this thing here, you know, called Kambara Makota 2013. Apparently, you know, he does make his rounds. I only discovered that later. He will go in his big bike, you know, all right? Of course, with all this entourage, all right? And my mom received word, my dad received word, the Sultan is coming. You know what that does to people when they say the Sultan is coming? To visit the coffee shop, which my grandfather started, you know. Now imagine now my dad, all right? This was his coffee shop. My uncle now runs it. So he knows that the Sultan is coming. This is my dad's coffee shop. Wow, he was so proud, you know? All right? So, wow, the moment he heard that, wow, my family is never the same already. Sultan is coming. And so they were so excited that things begin to be put in place. For example, this tiny, you know, this is the main street of my small village, okay? And an advance party will come and put up this tent, because Sultan is coming, is it? So must put tent, okay? And then, not only that, they were distributed this fan, all right? This fan is a memento that says a visit of the Sultan. So they're very proud to hold that, okay? All right? They were so proud that they took this, before that, that this advance party will come and make sure all right, that the table must be the king's table. Okay, so put yellow cloth lah, and the blue chair there. And my uncle, of course, make sure the whole coffee shop is freshly painted, you know. All right, because Sultan is coming, all right? And then not only that, with that memento of that fan, all right, wow, my family took a photo in front of the coffee shop, signboard, okay? And said, this is grandfather's coffee shop, all right? Yay, no Sultan coming. I never see my family so excited, you know? Okay? And then, not only that, my dad, you know, sat on the Sultan's chair. Right? This is one in a million, okay? You better sit on that blue chair, right? Sultan is going to sit there. I think this was after, lah. After he came already, lah. So he sat on it, all right? Sultan sat there, you know? And then my mom, you know, told my brother, take the picture, very important. So my mom stood there with her finger like that. Sultan there, you know, okay? And when they showed me this one, of course, my dad couldn't resist this. Must go and shake the hand of the Sultan. Right. And so, you know, as I look at these photos, as my mom relayed this to me, I just laugh and laugh. And then suddenly it dawned on me, there's a spiritual lesson. A huge, a big spiritual lesson. Do you know the King of Kings is here? Do you know the Lord of Lords is here right now? Do we dare treat the Sultan that way? So what did Malachi say? Give this to your governor. See whether he accepts your sacrifices or not. But yet the King of Kings is here all day. Every day in your home, in your cell group, in your workplace, the King of Kings is there. How do we treat him? Will we dare treat him like the way, all right? Like the way if we do treat the Sultan that way? See, the Lord reminded me that I'm judging myself right now. I cannot judge you, but I judge myself. I think often I take God too flippantly in my life. You see, when we do the Holy Communion, for example, I wonder, do we do it religiously? Because it's the right thing to do. But do you even understand the implication of the Holy Communion? So we have decided, for example, don't get upset with us, but this I know this is a man-made rule, but we think it's good for you. We actually shut the door the moment communion starts. You know why? Because I've seen far too many people rushing in just to grab a wafer, grab a cup and just drink and eat like that. I wonder they recognize the solemnity behind this ritual that we do. It's honoring God for who He is. And that's why we shut the door. Do you know why? It's for your sake. Because if you don't honor God properly, God will not honor you. We do not want you to come in and just flippantly. All right. Again, don't see that me as judging you. I don't know. Only God knows your heart. But I believe many would do this because they have such desire to do the communion. I do not know what's the background they come from. As if if I don't take it, something will go wrong with my life. And that's called magic, by the way. We don't do that. All right? But we do it in honor, in memory of God. And we do it with the sense of awe, with the sense of honor. And the reason we shut the door is to prevent you from dishonoring Him. Now, you may come for reasons, good reasons for being late. It's fine. I'm not arguing with that. All I'm saying is this, as a church, we must teach our people, especially our children, because in the previous year, we have seen children taking this very flippantly. They have not been taught how to honor God. That is why I said during the communion, if your children is next to you, explain to them what we are doing. Do not do this flippantly. And that's how we honor God. Church, please catch my heart. Please catch my heart here, all right? I know some people get very upset with us because we shut the door. How can you deny me of communion, all right? And we need to explain to them why, okay? And I hope you understand this. Like I said, you know, we think that is the best practice to have at the church. So come early, all right? Come early to church, okay? And let me end by giving you humorous assessment. I love this. When I came across, can I have the musician up here, right? This is how what it says in this humorous assessment. It says, you know, funny, how a 50 ringgit bill looks so big when you take it to church, you know. But so small when you go to supermarket. It's funny, isn't it? Right? Funny how big an hour serving God looks. But how small an hour is when you spend playing golf, fishing, or playing board games. Funny how long a couple of hours spent at church and how short when watching a movie is, you know. Okay? And funny how thrilled when a football game goes into overtime. But we complain when the sermon is a little bit longer. And funny how laborious it is to read a chapter in the Bible and how easy it is to read 200 to 300 pages of the best-selling novel. Funny how we can't think of anything to say when we pray, but don't have difficulty thinking of how many things to talk to our friends. And finally, this is what it says. Funny how people are so consumed with what others think about them rather than what God thinks about them. And I thought, it may be funny, but it talks about me. Right? And I pray that this morning, that God will speak to you. Again, it's not my words. It's God's word. I sow the seed, and I believe that seed will drop into the soil of your heart. And what you do with it is your responsibility. And later on, we're going to have time of ministry here. And every weekend, we open up this place for ministry, and people will come up here to be prayed for. And one of the things that we can ask God to pray, ask our people to pray for us, pray with you, is this whole area, maybe you need to rededicate your life back again to God. To say that, God, I'm sorry, I'm so flippant. Lord, I want to make right my life. I want to learn to give the best of my life, Lord, to you, God. And maybe some of us here need to recommit our lives to God. Maybe this is a great time, all right? And some of us have been so bothered, you know, by circumstances of our life, whether you're sick, business is failing, relationship is failing, and that distracts us even from learning how to trust God and honor God in our lives. Or maybe, you know, you need to come up here and just be able to come before God and say, God, will you help me? So whatever your needs are, I believe this is a place of grace here. Don't go away without a transaction with God, like I always say. And let's now go to God. Let's go to God and ask Him, Lord, what are you saying to me right now? What are you saying? Could you do that right now? Just bow your heads and ask God, ask the Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me now about honor? Is God saying stop to some of us? He's saying stop doing this. But maybe God is also saying go ahead and continue to do this. But whatever it is, I believe God has placed a specific word for every person here. And you need to respond to God and say, Lord, I hear you, God. I hear you. Help me, God. Help me, Lord. To continue to just wait upon the Lord as I speak to those who do not know Jesus here right now. Every weekend we ask, are there people here who do not know Jesus? And I believe as I talk about the word honor, maybe it comes to your realization that you need to honor God in your lives. And one way to honor God is that you invite Him into your life. If you're not a Christian today, you can actually open up your heart to Jesus and say, Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. That was shown by the Holy Communion. And if you desire so in your heart to invite Him to your life, you know, you put up your hand and I want to see your hand. I want to pray for you. Is there anyone here? At the count of three, whether down here or up in the gallery, at the count of three, you put up your hand. I see your hand. I'm going to pray for you to receive Jesus into your life. At the count of three, then I'm going to pray for you. Are you ready? Just put up your hand if you're that person to say that I want to receive Jesus into my life. 1, 2, and 3. Is there anyone? Just put up your hand where you are seated right now. Just put up your hand if that's you. Up in the gallery, is there anyone? Maybe you're a backslided Christian. You have walked away from God for a long time. You can also raise your hand because I'm going to pray for you. Is there anyone here? Yes, I see one hand behind. I see two hands. Any other hands? Just lift it high up because I want to see your hand. I'm going to get you to pray with me. Any other hands? Even if you don't put up your hand, can I encourage you to pray together with me here? I'm going to help you pray a prayer invitation. You invite God into your life. Church, can you pray aloud together with me with this prayer, together with this two person, and maybe any other person who may be shy to put up your hand, but you can pray this prayer right now in your heart to honor God in your lives. All right, church, pray together with me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me. Thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me, so that through His death, I can be forgiven. And today, I want to say to you, I'm sorry for all the things I've done. Please forgive me. And today, I receive your forgiveness. Please come into my life and make me new. Make me a child of God. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.